In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." Now this was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I am not the Messiah." They asked him, "Then who are you? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "Nope." Finally, they said, "Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, "I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness, make straight the way for the Lord." Now the Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophets?" "I baptize with water," John replied, "but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." This all happened at Bethany, on the other side of Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave his testimony, "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one." The next day, John was again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent the day with him. It was about 4 PM. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, the one who of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You will now be called Cephas, which when translated is Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nazareth? Can anything good come out from there? Nathanael asked. Come and see, said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said to him, here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. How do you know me? Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. And Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus said, you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than this. He then added, very truly I tell you, you will see the heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. The most important encounter you would ever have is with the Word of God. Join me as I continue to read the book of John from the NIV version of the Bible, right here on the Encounter series with me, Osaru Alile. Okay, so I'm just recording this commentary section about John 1. So first of all, I think John 1 is so interesting how it just tells us how God, Jesus Christ, is literally the Word of God. And if you read the Bible from Genesis literally to Revelation, you find out that everything was pointing to Jesus. The other day, the Lord showed me this interesting puzzle where if you look through the entire puzzle, and actually I'm going to try to draw it out, every cross word was Jesus, 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 Jesus. And he was essentially trying to show me that this entire life, our reason is Jesus, our core is Jesus, our purpose is Jesus, why we're here, Jesus, everything Jesus, yeah, really cool. And I also like find it interesting how, you know, it was telling us how John was literally Jesus's witness here on earth, and he was left to be all the disciples, like throughout the chapter, in chapter one, they all left what they were doing, quote unquote, to follow Jesus Christ, to do what they really were supposed to be doing. And I think it's the same for all of us here. Like, we're all disciples of Christ. As long as you accepted him as your Lord and Savior and you're a Christian, we are supposed to be acting as disciples of Christ Jesus, and we're supposed to leave what we're, quote unquote, doing to follow Christ. And I don't mean that to say that nobody should have a job or nobody should be doing anything, really. What I mean is that everything that we're supposed to be doing is supposed to be founded on bringing Christ to the light. So one way or the other, whatever it is that we are doing should be about him. And I think it was interesting, you know, where it says, and he left what he was doing and he followed him. This only happens when we identify Christ. Like, the way they saw Jesus was all different. And I think it happens to us now. Like, when we start to see Jesus, even if we don't see him physically, it's almost like there's a sign that says purpose detected. That's what I kept seeing in this chapter. It's like purpose detected. And once they saw it, they turned around very fast. Like, the speed it takes for, you know, how you see some people just become born again, and all of a sudden the speed it takes for them to start doing everything centered around Christ is amazing. And I think they get to that purpose detected mode. It's like a moment where you get to, in this day and age, like I said earlier, we don't see him physically, but it's the moments when we realize that we are called to live for him that our lives become sweet, and we're able to live everything that we're doing and follow him completely.